I've been using a prayer book by a woman named Phyllis Tickle. She's an Anglican, and she's kind of put the Book of Common Prayer and all these things together in one place, and I really like what she does. And the psalm that I'm using tonight was actually the part that I'm using was actually in my meditation for the morning. So this is where that came from. And this is a little weird beginning, but have you ever noticed how positively people are eulogized at memorial services? You rarely hear, "Joe had a nasty temper," or "Rachel was really known for being a terrible gossip," or "You know, I didn't know Steve very well, but I didn't really like him." You don't hear those things in eulogies. And I feel like we kind of do the same thing with Thanksgiving Eve. Actually, you all have just proven me wrong, but I feel like sometimes we do this thing where we eulogize the year, right? We don't say many bad things. We just say the good things. We're really thankful for the good things. And for a brief moment, we put the struggles and pain, the brokenness, heartache, and sin aside, and we remember the things that God did that were genuinely good. Those moments where we were encouraged or excited or rewarded or pleased. And don't get me wrong, that isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing that we do those things. But it can be good for our hearts to remember good things that have happened over the past year and at the same time not deny the pain and the struggle and the difficulty and the suffering. We have faith in Yahweh, the God who consistently brings good out of bad and life out of death, and so we have to celebrate the goodness that we see within the struggle. So for a few minutes tonight, we're going to join King David as he laments his circumstances, and we're going to look for God's work in the midst of them. This is what this passage encourages us to do. Our psalm is Psalm 31. If you want to open to it, I'll give you a second to do that. And it says this: "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Never let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net that they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. In your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, and my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side. As they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. And this is the verse that caught my eye. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight, but you heard the voice of my plea for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and it's trustworthy and it's true. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come to you in a time of thanksgiving, but we come out of a time of strife and pain and difficulty and struggle. And so it seems a little disingenuous to just set those things aside and try to fabricate the good things. But what is real and what is hopeful and what is true is that you act within the struggle. You work out of the pain to do good things. That makes you big and strong and powerful and glorious. And we are grateful. Would you be with us as we take a minute in your word this evening? We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. David here is crying out to God for refuge and protection. The Hebrew word he uses for rescue means to help someone escape, to bring into security. And in this psalm, David is asking for vindication from shame. In the Old Testament, shame isn't so much a feeling like we talk about now. We feel shame, and that's real, and in the Bible that was true too. But David was much more concerned about how the community thinks of him. He's much more concerned in this text about the court of public opinion. Do they think he's sinned? Do they think he's been defeated? Do they think he's been rejected by God? These are his concerns. These are his worries, and he's bringing them to God. In the context of preaching, whenever you talk to people about the circumstances, which I do often with students, there's a broad spectrum that exists in the room. We aren't all like David, worried about a court of public opinion. Many of you are concerned about other things. For some of you, when I brought up the idea that we're going to hear from the Lord about lamenting circumstances, you thought, man, that's rough. There isn't really too much in my life that's going on that's bad right now. And I believe it. For some of you, that's true. God has been merciful and kind to you, and things aren't too bad. In fact, they're kind of good. So for some of you, it's really good. And then there are circumstances in the world around us, right? In the last year, there's been war in Ukraine, and crazily, it has impacted everybody. We haven't seen a bomb or a bullet, and yet we feel it. We've suffered under rising inflation. People have been frustrated by division in our country over politics. There have been mass shootings, hurricanes, earthquakes, other natural catastrophes. And we all have a little bit of pandemic exhaustion. Finally, some of you are distinctly aware of the pain and the brokenness and the sin that's living in your life. You're deeply aware of relationships that are broken. Your hearts have been marred by sin, your own, other people's. There's painful struggle with addiction, and the context of your life can be painful. You have fear of health concerns. Your stress and anxiety and other mental health issues are crippling. Work can be a painful place. There are things that keep you awake at night that you don't want anybody to know. Maybe your financial situation is grim. It is in these circumstances that we join David. We cry for escape and to be brought into security. The things that make us uncomfortable, that cause pain and insecurity, we want God to bring us out of. What if these painful things aren't just the things we suffer, but also the areas of our life where God works to show us His true greatness? When I say this, please don't hear me or the Bible dismissing the difficulty and pain of your suffering. That's the whole point. God actually cares that you suffer. And showing up in the midst of it is His demonstration of His glory and power. So how do we see God in a besieged city? The first that drew my attention to the psalm was verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for He has wondrously shown His steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. This is a great picture. A picture of a city surrounded by enemies, cut off from resources, cut off from reinforcements, and the battle is on. We can relate to that. We feel that. And yet David is seeing God's work in the midst of the battle. David sees God as we battle sin. David sees God, or we can see God, as we battle fear and the brokenness of our minds and bodies, as we watch war, economic upheaval, and political distress. We can relate to a besieged city, but how can we identify God's love? It's actually really great. I was looking through your bulletin. There are a bunch of questions there. And they're really helpful in identifying God's love and power in the midst of our struggle. David uses words like refuge, fortress, steadfast love. For him, these are the places of reprieve. This is not final victory, although he asks for that too. Sometimes when we don't see God just resolve an issue for us, we think that He's not at work. But that's not true. This is David's escape from struggle. So where have you known reprieve from the struggle of sin this year? Have you found encouragement in God's word? Have you read His word and thought, oh, that is the rescue that I needed? Do you have a friend that loves you in spite of your struggle? Have you had temporary relief from your distress through medication, therapy, or financial assistance? This is God showing up. Maybe it didn't fix it, but it was that moment that gave you reprieve. Has someone forgiven you this year? Have you forgiven someone this year? Have you known generosity or had the occasion to be generous? These are the glimpses of God's steadfast love that break through the enemy's siege. These are the moments of reprieve from the battle as we're surrounded. These are the things to remember. But how does God accomplish this greatness? Briefly, I just want to remind you of how what I'm saying is different than the world sees this. Everybody feels reprieved when they receive a check in the mail and they go, oh, that's helpful, right? Everybody feels a reprieve when they're sick and they take medicine and they feel better. But we see that as God's work in our lives. We see that as the hand of God reaching down and lifting us out of the pit. The answer to how God does these things is Jesus, of course. Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sin of all who would put their faith in Him. And faith means that we trust that He has a plan in the midst of pain and struggle. As we're wrestling through the difficulty, we're putting one foot in front of the other because we believe that God's at work. His death and resurrection means that there's hope that the sin of this world will be defeated permanently. That the reprieve you see, that brief rest you feel is just a snapshot of something much more permanent that is to come. In the words of Sam Gamgee from Return of the King, everything sad will become untrue. Over and over and over again in the Bible, we see the snapshots of God reversing the curse of pain and struggle and sin through his powerful work revealing something beautiful. I had like a whole bunch of these things that I wanted to go through, but Jim's words of 10 minutes kept going through my mind. We would have been here for hours. You see these pictures in the Bible? Jacob, Habakkuk, David, on and on and on and on and on. These are snapshots of what God's going to do. These are the snapshots of Jesus reversing the curse of sin, revealing his great power, and restoring this world to what he intended. Friend, God is at work in you. Jesus is at work in you. He's in work in you. He's at work through you. He's at work in the people that know him. He even works through the people that don't. God is in the midst of your distress. He is inside your besieged city. Let us take time this Thanksgiving and give thanksgiving for the fact that God has wondrously shown us his steadfast love in this besieged city. Let's pray. Lord, the picture of besieged city is helpful. We relate to that. We live there. Would you remind us that you're at work? Would you remind us that you've done great things, that you're changing us, you're turning us into what we will become, that will be beautiful and perfect and not struggle with sin and not feel the effects of it? Would you help us to be thankful and keenly aware of how you've done those things, that we would look carefully so we can say thank you? We thank you for the work of Jesus, for his life and death and resurrection, and it's in his name we pray.